The following sermon was preached Lord's Day afternoon by Pastor Gary McNamee. For more resources like these audio sermons and other Reformation-era study helps, please visit our website at gracerpcna.org. Now listen in as we continue our study through the book of Psalms, where we see the Lord's power is our peace.
Please take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 29. We're going to be looking at Psalm 29 in the thought of the Lord's power is our peace. The Lord's power is our peace. The Lord doesn't tell us that He's almighty and all-powerful without purpose. He wants us to know who He is, that we may trust in Him. Psalm 29, this is God's holy and inspired word. Please give it your special and careful attention. Psalm 29, a psalm of David. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in His temple, everyone says, glory! The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as King forever. The Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank You for this reading of Your word. We know, Lord, that You do use this means of grace in the life of Your people to simply hear Your word read as a ministry to us. And we pray, Father, that Your Spirit would use the reading of Your word and the preaching of Your word to strengthen us in our faith, to assure us of Your wonderful care for Your church and for us as Your people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last Thursday evening, if you were here in the city of Columbia, whether you knew it or not, you got to hear and see the voice of the Lord. In the thunder and the lightning that came in a storm, the Lord's voice was there. The Lord's power was on display. And Psalm 29 is all about the power and strength of the Lord. And the Lord wants you to know that He is powerful. And so when we see these things happen in our world, it is a demonstration and an evidence of God's strength and His majesty. And He wants us to know that. Not just so you'll be well Bible-educated Christians, so that you will be trusting in His strength and in His power, so that you will have peace. So that you will have peace. And not just peace with Him, but peace within your own soul and peace with everything that is around you. In Psalm 29, David declares some wonderful truths about God and His power. And His purpose is your peace. Isn't that a wonderful thing from God? I want to declare to you my power, my glory, and my strength, he says, so that you may have peace. And if it's one thing that we need right now, in our lives, it is peace. There are terrible things going on around us in the world, as there always is. But there are terrible things going around us in the church, and even sometimes in our own individual lives. And so when these things happen, we need to be reminded of the Lord's strength, His majesty, His glory, His sovereignty, His kingship over all the world, so that we will have peace. We're going to look at Psalm 29 in these three sections that it is clearly broken up into. In verses 1 and 2, we're going to see the Lord's power is worthy of praise. The Lord's power is worthy of praise. In verses 3 to 9, the Lord's power is on display to the world. And then verses 10 to 11, the Lord's power is for your eternal peace. All these things God is showing you for your peace. So let's look at verses 1 and 2. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. You're being called here. You're being called as the people of God to give something to the Lord. And we may ask ourselves, how can we, as his tiny little creatures, give something to him that he already has? Well, the command is not that you are to give him strength, not that you are to give him glory. The command is you are to ascribe it to him. You are to declare it that it is his. And that's what the psalmist is telling us here. In this psalm, 18 times the name of the Lord is called out, just in these 11 verses. That name of the Lord is not just Lord like Master. It is the Lord, the covenant God, the covenant-keeping God, Yahweh, Jehovah, who says to his people, I am who I am. This is the name of the Lord that is before us here. It is the one who keeps his covenant with his people. It is the one name that Jesus claimed for himself, saying, before Abraham was, I am. This is why he was crucified, because he made himself equal with God, because he declared he was equal with God. And so this whole chapter has its focus on the Lord and the Lord's covenant people. And so the power that is spoken of here in verses 1 and 2 is the Lord's power and the peace that comes with it to God's people who are in covenant with him. And in verses 1 and 2, David calls us to ascribe to the Lord the glory and the strength that he is due. In verse 1, the call is to the mighty ones. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Now, some commentators believe this may be referring to angels. Some believe it is referring to earthly rulers like kings and princes. But either way, the call is for those who are high and those who are mighty to humble themselves and to know that it is the Lord who is due their worship. It is the Lord who is due their worship. And this is, if it's true for angels and kings and rulers in this world to worship the Lord, then it is also true for us too. And we'll see that in verse 9 in just a moment, that we are included in this ascribing to the Lord glory. We see four times in verses 1 and 2 the call to give the Lord what he is worthy of comes to us, to give him something that he already is. And so we are called here to give to the Lord glory and strength, to give the Lord glory due to his name, to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The first call is to call out who is to be doing it, the angels, the rulers, and us. The second call is to give the Lord glory and strength. You don't have glory. You don't have strength. Certainly nothing of you does the Lord need. And that's what he says when he calls himself the Lord, I am who I am, meaning I am in and of myself all there is to be. I don't need anything. You can't add anything to me. So how do we ascribe to him glory and strength? How do we give him what he's asking us for? It starts in the heart. It comes from the lips, but it starts in the heart, and it's an acknowledgement of his strength and his glory. The call is here for us to speak it to him, but to speak it to him because we believe it, because it is truth, and because we agree that he is worthy of this worship. And so we do this by acknowledging his glory and strength. And when we come here today, the very fact that you are making the trip to come out of your home and into this place of worship and to gather with God's people is an acknowledgement that we are coming to something that is greater than us. We are coming to something and someone who is the only one who is worthy of our worship. And it starts here in the heart. It starts here in the heart. Certainly, you can come here without your heart being right. Certainly, you can come here, you can read the word, you can sing the psalms, you can do everything that we do here and your heart not be in it. But true worship and ascribing strength and glory and honor to the Lord comes in the call from God to a heart that believes these things. That believes that he is more glorious than all, more powerful than all, and anyone else in all the universe. That is why we are called to give the Lord glory and strength. The third call here is to give the Lord the glory due to His name. We see this here in verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. This call is to acknowledge not only who He is and His power and glory and strength, but to also acknowledge what He has done. Oftentimes when the Scriptures speak about God doing something for His name's sake, it's talking about for His reputation, for who He is, His testimony of who He is, and what He has done. And so here we're called to acknowledge His work, what He has done, all the ways that He has demonstrated His power and glory through creation, through redemption of His people from Egypt, through sending His Son, Jesus Christ. All these things are His great and awesome work, and they contribute to His reputation. His redemption for His people testifies to His name, the covenant-keeping, saving God. And so we are called to give glory to His name for that reason. The fourth call here in verse 2 is to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. It is the Lord who is holy. It is He that is so other than any other being. There is none like Him. There is no one else that we should be worshiping, no one else that we should be fearing. He is the only one. He is the only one who is holy. There is no one else like Him. And He calls us to worship Him in that beauty, in His exclusiveness, in His holiness, to come and pay Him honor. And so these are the four calls that we see here. And God is the only one who qualifies for these things. No other being, no other person, no angel or the highest of men is worthy of our worship. And we are called to ascribe to Him glory, honor, and strength, because that's who He is, and those are the works that He has done. So the Lord's power is worthy of our praise. Secondly, in verses 3 to 9, we see the Lord's power is on display to the world. David now calls us to acknowledge the many ways in which the Lord's power is here on display. The Lord's power is demonstrated in all levels in His creation. In verses 3 to 9, we move from the waters to the land to the desert, to the wilderness. David takes us all the way through so that we can see that God's reign and His power is over all creation. Verses 3 and 4, as we look at them, tells us the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. And so here David is speaking of God's power over the waters. He has authority over the waters. And the thunder is His powerful voice, reminding us that it is He who has created all things and is over all things. Not is He only over the water, but He sends the water. He sends the rain. He sends the lightning. He sends the thunder. And when we see this happening, God is calling us to acknowledge His power over all creation. He's calling us to acknowledge who He is and what He is doing. He is speaking to us through His creation, in His power, and in His majesty. Over the waters, He's over them all. Verses 5 to 7, the voice of the Lord moves into the land where the mighty cedar trees of Lebanon are broken at the power of His voice. It says in last part of verse 5, yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. The cedars of Lebanon were known to be tall, powerful trees, strong trees. Their wood was used for many building projects, and they were considered strength. And so David is acknowledging, yeah, those trees were strong, but the voice of the Lord turned them into splinters. And He scattered them around like a bunch of young calves who are dancing around in the field. The voice of the Lord is over all His creation, including the strong trees of Lebanon. He splintered them as if they had no strength. Verse 7 then speaks of the lightning that God sends at His will to show His power. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. We need to be reminded of this, because the world says to us, this world came about on its own. This world is controlled by, quote unquote, Mother Nature. And you're going to hear that over and over again. You even hear people talking about it around the water cooler when they say things after a mighty storm the night before. Well, Mother Nature really laid it on us last night, right? You see it in the newscast. when there is a hurricane or a tropical storm coming, you see something, all these powerful forces being attributed to some nothing of Mother Nature, as if there is something. But they don't know what it is. And David is declaring to us here today that we do know what it is. It is the Lord, and when these things happen, it is the voice of the Lord trying to get man's attention to know and see His power. And that should warn us all. That should warn us all. These are not forces from Mother Nature. These things are God's voice declaring His power in and over creation. As we move along the land, from the waters to the land, to the lightning, to the storms, we now come to the voice that is shaking the wilderness in verses 8 and 9. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in His temple, everyone says glory. The Lord shakes the earth. He shakes it with earthquakes. He brings the earthquakes to show that He's not only Lord over the waters, He's not only Lord over the heavens from where the thunder and lightning come, but He is Lord over the land and the earth as well. Over the trees, over the animals and when they give birth. He is over all these things, showing His power. And so rather than looking at nature and all its forces and thinking that it is attributed to something that does not exist, you are called to attribute it to the Lord. You are called to acknowledge this is the Lord speaking. This is the Lord speaking to all the world and putting His power on display. But now we notice the last part of verse 9. It seems like something strange is put in here. And we're talking about forces, talking about power, we're talking about the Lord's voice over the waters, over the seas, over the lightning, over the thunder, over the land. In the last part of verse 9, it says, and in His temple, everyone says glory. Out of nowhere comes this reference to worship. Why? Because it is those people who are in the temple who recognize this is the voice of the Lord. And having seen the power of the Lord in His voice, it is now the people of God whose voice is heard. And they are in the temple, having not only heard the voice of the Lord in the forces of nature that God displays Himself in, but also in the temple. They are in the temple with their sacrifices. They are in the temple worshiping God and crying out, glory, glory. Why? Because they have heard the voice of the Lord, not only in how God works in creation, but how God works in His temple and how God works through the sacrifices. Temple worship came to the people of God through the Word of God by the voice of His prophets. And why would they say glory in the temple? Because the Lord's voice was not only heard in His creation, it was also heard in the temple as well. The Lord's voice was heard in the cry of the slain animals. I know we may sometimes think that the sacrifices, or maybe we don't just even think about it at all, but the sacrifices, they're so foreign to us. We can't imagine the slaughter that was going on. We can't imagine the noise that was going on, that every time an animal was sacrificed, there would be cries and bleeding. And people would hear that. And in that is the voice of the Lord. Because in every sacrifice that was offered to the Lord, every sacrifice that He received was the message that another one's sins have been atoned for, was the message that the sins of God's people were being paid for in demonstration now, but pointing to the ultimate sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ to come in the future. Just like the voice of the sacrifice on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord crying out, my God, why have You forsaken Me? And what does this voice say? For the sake of My people, that they may have peace. Every time a worshiper went into the temple, he was seeking something. He was seeking peace with God. That's what he was seeking. And that's why he was bringing a sacrifice, that it may be accepted on his behalf, that he may have peace with God. And that is why we can say even now, glory, because the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ was heard. The cry of the Lamb slain was heard by God and accepted. And man and God were reconciled through Jesus Christ, the voice of the Lord. The cry of the temple sacrifices caused the people to say glory because of the peace that it brought to them. It brought them peace. Their sins were atoned for in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, just like ours. And notice also that in this verse, it doesn't say, and some shouted glory. It says, and in his temple, everyone says glory. Of course, the everyone is all those who have been received according to the sacrifice that God has laid out for us. All those who have been received in the Lord Jesus Christ by God the Father can shout glory because peace has been given to us. And that's exactly where we go to in verses 10 and 11. We say glory to the Lord because he is king over all, and not only is he all powerful, but through his power, we have peace. And the Lord's power is for your peace. The Lord has every right to boast about himself, to boast about his strength, to boast about his might and his power and his majesty and glory. The Lord has every right to do that, and it is right for him to do it. But that's not his only purpose. His purpose is that so your confidence, your faith in him, will be in a God who is all-powerful, almighty, and who is giving you peace. And we oftentimes read these psalms and don't recognize what's happening all around Israel. Because all around Israel were nations who were worshiping false gods. Worshiping gods who they made out of trees and stones. Worshiping gods who were dead. Worshiping gods whom they had to create, even the heritage and the story of them and even their own powers. They had to assign them to them. They had no powers. They were dead. They had no powers. But all around Israel is this worship of those kind of gods. And David is saying, that's not our God. Our God is all-powerful, and our God gives peace. Look at verses 10 and 11. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Verse 10 tells us that the Lord has always been king over all things and will be king forever. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood. This could mean, it likely means, that he sat enthroned at creation when he created the world and it was covered with water. He was king of the world when he created the world. Genesis 1:1 tells us the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face of the waters. David is telling us that God was there creating this world, that he was and is the sovereign king over it then and will be the sovereign king forever. In verse 10, it starts off with the past tense. The Lord was there at the beginning, and the Lord sits now as king forever. That should raise our confidence that we don't have to worry if God will always be king. We don't have to worry if he'll always be sovereign over all this world. We don't have to worry or wonder, where is God when I don't feel him with me? Where is God in the midst of things, terrible things happening that are going on even now in the world and possibly even in your own life? Where is God? David says he's right on the throne. He's sovereign over everything. He is right where he was from the beginning, and he is there for your peace. The Lord, verse 11, will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. This peace is a peace that comes from knowing and having confidence in the Lord. When verse 11 says the Lord will give strength to his people, it's not just about making you strong or making you mighty, but it's strengthening you in your faith, in your confidence in the Lord and who he is. And that's why he gives us the thunder and the lightning and his power over all creation. That's why he reminds us that he was there from the beginning and he will be there through the end. That's why when we see the earth shake and the seas roar, we don't have to worry. It doesn't mean it might not affect us. It very well might. But we don't have to worry because we know who is shaking the earth and we know who is causing the seas to roar. It is God who is over all things. and is He who gives us peace. From the moment of the covenant of redemption that was made between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, it has been the Lord's work to give you peace. When He decided to send His own Son to be your Savior, He did it so that you would have peace with Him and that you would have peace in this world. So if in order for God to make a people to be His people, He had to be able to bring them to Himself on the basis of peace. And that's what He's done. And that's what He's showing us. It is through the blood of peace. It is through the sacrificial death of a substitute, of a slain lamb, that you have peace with God. That's what God has done for you. That's what God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit agreed to do in the covenant of redemption. To give you peace through Jesus Christ. Listen to Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who has given us this peace. And then Romans verses 6 to 11 tells us even more. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely will a righteous man die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His love toward us, His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, reconciled to God through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ that God gives you peace. Peace with Him and peace in this world. And so the Spirit of the Lord is reminding us this afternoon that our peace with God comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ. And though while the thunder is loud and the lightning is loud and the ocean's waves roar with thunder, there is nothing that speaks so loudly of God's sovereignty over the universe than His sending His Son Jesus Christ to die for His people and make peace with them between Him and His people. And so when the voice of the Lord calls a person to Himself through Jesus Christ, He is calling to give you peace. He is calling to give you peace between Him and you. And this peace is for eternity. It is for the future, but it's also for the here and now. Those who believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ have a peace that passes all understanding, has a peace that people cannot even understand how you can go through certain things in peace. But it is because you have the peace of God that He has given to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 14:27, Jesus said, and He's speaking in the present tense, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That was peace for the day. That was peace for the moment. And that's peace for our day and for every moment in our life. And He who is Lord of glory with all power is over all things, is your peace. He is your peace. So when we face trials, when we face struggles, even when we don't hear the voice of the Lord, we don't feel like He is around because our troubles are so great or our loneliness is so vast. It is the Lord who's saying, "Look, look in all of creation. Look in My temple. See My sacrifice and hear the voice of the Lord because I come giving you peace and strength." That is what the Lord is saying to us today from Psalm 29. It is a future peace, peace with Him forever, and it's a current peace right now. That you are reconciled to God. And so the question is, do you have this peace? Do you have this peace that God is offering and giving to you? Peace to know that your sins are forgiven. Peace to know that God accepts you into his presence. Do you have that peace? If you do not, today is the day of peace. Today is the day of salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall have that peace with God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be given peace. That's what Paul was saying. You'll have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So if there is something that is disturbing your peace, Christian person, if there's something that's disturbing your peace, then look to the Lord in all his power. Look to the Lord in his power over all creation. And look to his temple, a temple made not with hands, a temple of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And say, glory, for God has given us peace. For those of you who may not be confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord, again, call out to him and he will give you peace. Let us all look to him who declares to you, he is all powerful, he is over all creation, he is all glorious, and he has given us peace through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's where peace is, in the Lord Jesus Christ. May God work that in your life as well. Amen. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank you for this encouragement from your word, these exhortations to worship you and ascribe to you glory and strength and honor, to see your voice in the power of your creation and your sovereignty over it all, and to hear you in the temple, to hear you accepting the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we may call out to you glory. Glory to the Lord for the peace he has given us. We pray, Father, that you'd help us not only to hear these things, but to believe and trust in them, that we may in fact have peace with you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.